Welcome to the Kerwin Baptist Church broadcast today. Our desire is for the Word of God to be spread throughout the world so that all may know Christ. Join us now for a portion of one of our services here at Kerwin Baptist Church, located in Kernersville, North Carolina.
Psalm 22. Now you say, preacher, if we're talking about the suffering of Christ, why are we in Psalm 22? Many here might not realize this, but Psalm 22 is the prophetic chapter in the Old Testament about the suffering of Christ. David here, obviously, is a type of Christ, a picture of Christ. There are others in the Old Testament. Moses was a type of Christ. Joseph was a very, very active type of Christ. And we have others. And David, what the Bible says, has a heart after God, and he had the same kind of heart. Now, that doesn't make sense because David sinned and David did some wrong things. But as I was looking at different of the types of Christ in the Old Testament, they all bring something different to the table. And Moses had a leadership, but Moses blew it. Moses had made mistakes, and yet God used him, and it's a type of how Christ can use you. I think of Joseph that went through so much difficulty and turmoil. I mean, his brothers threw him into a pit. Everywhere you turned around, he was being done wrong. And what a type of that Christ can take whatever challenges you face and still do great things in your life. But David was a man that really blew it. And David had this brokenness about him after the sins that he had committed. And David had a heart for the forgiveness and the grace of God. Now, I want you to look at Psalm 22, and this might be new to some of you, but the fact that when you read this, you're like, wow, this is exactly Matthew chapter 27, beginning verse 33 and onward. It's amazing. Direct quotes from this chapter are in Matthew 27. And it even mentions this chapter in Matthew 27, talking about as it was written by the prophets that they would cast lots about the garment of Christ and different things. It's extremely interesting study. Look at Psalm 22. We'll just read two verses and then we'll jump into it today. Psalm 22, to the chief musician upon Eliath Shehar, and I obviously always read that. And Eliath means a deer or a hind, and Shehar obviously means an early morning time. A psalm of David. Notice, if you would, verse 1. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now that should get your attention right away. Does that not sound familiar? As Christ was on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Notice, why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. The suffering of Christ, remembering our Redeemer. Just want to remind you this morning. Lord, we love you. And Lord, as we look to the Old Testament to show us what was to come, we can go to the New Testament and see what did come. And Lord, we serve you today because we know where we're going. Now, Lord, I pray as we look at Psalm 22, and Lord, how it was written so far ahead of time, the suffering that you would go through. Lord, may it be a reminder to us of what you've done for us. And Lord, all those in this building that would consider themselves saved, that have trusted you as their personal Savior, Lord, this should bring gratitude. But Lord, to anybody here that does not know you as their personal Savior, this should bring conviction. We ask you to do the work that only the Holy Spirit can do. In Jesus' name, amen. Number one, this morning, as we look at the suffering of Christ, just remembering our Redeemer, what he did. Number one, I want you to notice the rejection from the Father. I believe this is one of the worst things of the pain that Christ suffered. As we're reminded in verse 1, notice this, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We see here prophesied what Christ would go through. And we are prophesied here how that Christ would literally be forsaken by God the Father. Notice he says, why hast thou forsaken me? Now you would say, preacher, obviously he should know why. He's Christ. He's God. He had to know this was coming. And dear friend, I don't think he did. I honestly think that he knew he was going to die for our sins. He knew the pain that he would go through. But I believe that it literally came as a surprise to him that his own father would forsake him. Dear friend, that's the price of sin. That's because Christ took all of our sin upon him. And God the Father, being a holy God, had to forsake him. Notice, if you'll notice two things under this, if you look at verse 1, he says this, "Why art thou so far from helping me?" Notice first, God would not help him. It's as if Jesus was saying, "God, I need your help." And he wouldn't listen. Notice secondly, not only God would not help him, but God would not hear him. Look at verse 1. "Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring?" He said, "God, I cry in the daytime and you don't hear me. And I cry in the nighttime and not silent. Why aren't you listening?" Dear friend, may I remind you about our Redeemer, that in order to purchase your redemption and my redemption, that he had to go not only through the physical suffering, but he had to be forsaken, not just by God, but by his Father. What a reminder this morning. You know, as we plan summer vacations and weather's nice and we have our little cookouts out on the decks and all those things, if you have a deck, or a cookout in the yard, or cookout in the jail cell, wherever you are, have a cookout, okay? As we go enjoy the nice weather and we all have our little things we're going to do, may I remind you, let's not forget what our Redeemer went through. Notice not just rejection from the Father, but notice number two, the ridicule from the people. Boy, this chapter is something. If you understand it in light of the crucifixion of Christ, notice if you would verse 6, "But I am a worm and no man." In other words, I'm being treated less than a man would be treated. Notice what he says here. "A reproach of men." That's exactly what the New Testament said. That Christ was a reproach. They considered him a reproach. They were against him. Notice this. "And despised of the people." Notice that the ridicule from the people. Notice verse 7. "All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted in the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him." Verse 8, by the way, is almost literally a direct quote from Matthew 27, where literally as Christ was hanging on the tree, they ridiculed, saying, "Hey, he always said the Father would help him. Let's see him help him now." May I say this under the ridicule from people? Number one, we see the scorning laugh. Now, I've got an 11-year-old, an 8-year-old. My 11-year-old's almost 12, and then I got a 4-year-old. And let me tell you how children, and even more particularly boys, get under each other's skin. I could tell you a lot of ways. Let me tell you how children get under their parents' skin. I could tell you a bunch about that. But you know how often they'll just, when they're mad at each other or they really want to inflict pain, you know what they do? If they're playing a video game or they're out there doing something and one of them beats the other one or somebody makes a mistake, ha 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 ha! How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Ha ha ha! Anybody ever done that to you? Let me tell you what I want to do. I want to, bam! Gouge him in the eyes. Pow! Let me tell you something. That just angers you when folks just laugh at you. Here we see Christ in what was to come. Prophecy here that folks would laugh him to scorn. They were laughing just to embarrass him, hurt him, and despise him. Nobody really likes to be laughed at, do they? Let alone like this. And by the way, can I remind you that he was hung on the cross naked? Can you imagine the things they said? The mockery to the very Son of God. Notice, secondly, we see not only their scorning laugh, but their shouting lips. He says in verse 6, "I'm a reproach of men, I'm despised of the people. They laugh me to scorn, they shoot out the lip." shouting, calling him names, ridiculing him. Here he is under the pressure of literally thousands of people that despise him, that consider him a reproach, and that were laughing at him and spitting on him and all these things. And then they were shouting at him in his face. No wonder. Look at all the wrong he did. Think about it. He never did one thing wrong. He never even committed a sin. And he was treated like this. Every once in a while, if you're like me, you look at things and you think, well, man alive, all I was doing was trying to help. I mean, goodness gracious, you know, all I'm trying to do is what I think's best for this church. And I'm not trying to do anything wrong. Or when you get in relationships, obviously I love this person. Why would they think whatever? And oftentimes then they react and you think, well, man, I didn't mean anything bad by it. What in the world? Why are you treating me like that? Here's an individual, Christ, that never committed a sin. And if he never committed a sin, that means obviously he never mistreated one individual in his entire life. And yet thousands hated him. Shouting lips. Notice third, they were shaking heads. Verse 7, they laugh me to scorn, they shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, just out of indignation. What did they say? Verse 8, we see fourthly, sarcastic mockery. He trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he relies on him. All right, well, if you're the Lord and you're the Messiah, then why didn't God take you off the cross? If you're such a big deal. Now, think about this. He is literally rejected by his Father, and now he's having this done to him by people. Notice, thirdly, the retreat of his disciples. Look at verse 11. I don't know if some of you, this is the first you've seen how Psalm 22 is the direct correlation with the crucifixion of Christ. But let me tell you what I find shocking about this, and you're going to see even more verses, that literally mainstream 100% people or Jews that follow the Jewish beliefs and religion, they do not believe that the Messiah has come yet. And they reject the New Testament. And isn't it amazing that Psalm 22 in the Old Testament clearly says what is going to happen, and it happened, and they still don't believe. Look at verse 11. Be not far from me, for trouble is near. Remember, he's talking to his Father. Why have you left me? Notice what he says here. There is none to help. All the followers that followed around trying to get a free meal or a free show were all of a sudden gone. Yeah. All the ones that he was close to and loved, for some reason, they weren't there. There was none to help. May I say that I think that if you serve God long enough, and I won't even put it that way, if you are alive long enough, and you try in any way to minister or work with people, you will experience this. You will find individuals that you have, I wouldn't say we were having a deacons meeting one time, and a couple of our deacons, you know, have been here for years, and they don't, you know, they're not meaning it critical, and I hope I'm not embarrassing by saying this, but, you know, we were just talking about things over the years and how, you know, people can be different, and they said, let me tell you something, take an offering for somebody, before long, they'll be gone. You would be shocked at how many times the people that the church is most generous to, before long, get mad about something and leave. Isn't that amazing? And yet you got people sitting right here in this building, been in this church for years. Not one thing's probably ever been done financially for them, and they love this church and would never go anywhere else. And I'm not saying we don't take offers for people. And there's a whole lot of people we've taken offers for that are right here, sir. That's not what I'm saying. But you wouldn't believe how many that the church has reached out and done things for, and before long, they're just gone. The retreat of his disciples. Imagine during this hour of what he's going through, being rejected by the Father, ridiculed by the people. Wouldn't it have been nice to have a whole gang of people stand up for him? But they weren't there. It's amazing how loud people get when they're agreeing with a crowd. But you let something go against the crowd, boy, folks get real quiet. Notice, fourthly, the revenge from Satan. This was interesting to me. Look at verse 12. This is obviously coming as if from Christ himself. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. Whoa. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. Notice, if you would, verse 16. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. Now let me just stop right there and let me give you the three things here that Christ describes, obviously, through inspiration of the Holy Scriptures, through David in Psalm 22. He says first, he talks about raging bulls. This is how we equate the suffering of Christ, that as he is being crucified, he says, I am literally surrounded by raging bulls of Bashan, or literally a country of Jordan. And what he is here, he's saying, I am surrounded by my enemies. And what's interesting, he's talking about those that were of a higher rank. Because in verse 16, we're going to talk about in a minute, he uses the word relentless dogs or dogs. In other words, they just won't leave me alone. And the bulls are the higher ranking people. In other words, the religious leaders, the elders, the politicians were against him. And even the low life of society, the dogs were against him too. He had everybody against him. It's amazing when he says these raging bulls of Bashan, he's talking about the fact that they're strong and they're furious as compared to a bull. They're fat and fed to the full. That's what bulls do. They eat. And literally, obviously, they just get as big as they can. That's the whole point. And he said they rage, they're haughty, they're sour. And I don't understand. Let me ask you something. You could go into a pasture, and I've seen this. My dad used to have a preacher boy ministry, obviously, where we took preacher boys out in the summertime out west. I think that's why I enjoy interns, because I obviously saw how that did so much. We have pastors in America that used to travel with us in the summertime in the preacher boy ministry. And one man that pastors in Utah now, Pastor Chuck Bickle, if I recall correctly, I think was it Cody where he jumped in there with the buffalo? I think it was Cody, Wyoming. We were out there, and you just walk out and you'll just see, obviously it's just plains out there, and you'll have a fence and you'll see herds of buffalo. And so we were all in the preacher boys, and everybody stopped. We're going to get some pictures. Some of these guys from the East Coast never seen buffalo and different things, and he jumped over, it's just pole fence, and he jumped over that to get some pictures, and all of a sudden, one of those buffalo bulls came after him. And buddy, he started running, and he got to that fence just in time, climbing over that thing, and that bull was after him. I've watched a bull put my dad up a tree in Miami, Florida, because you get the wrong place. Now, let me ask something. What did he ever do to that bull? Now look at me, stick with me. What did Chuck do to that bull? Nothing. You don't have to do anything to them. They just angry and come at you. What did Jesus do to them? Nothing. But like a bull, they're just angry. Notice the raging bull. Second, we see a roaring lion. Verse 21, he said, save me from the lion's mouth. And then, of course, you'll notice as we read in verse 13, they gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and roaring lion. Remember what the Bible says, that our adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom, a direct reference to the attacks of Satan as Christ was being crucified. A raging bull, a roaring lion, and then we see relentless dogs. Look at verse 20. Also, as it mentions dogs in verse 16, verse 20, deliver my soul from the sword, my darling, from the power of the dog. Can I tell you what dogs are, as much as you love them, and I do love them? And our dog is, literally like a member of our family. And so dogs are going to heaven now. Okay. Everybody picks with me on that. But listen, can I tell you what many times dogs are? They're just filthy. They're gross. Now you can wash them all you want to, but before long, they're going to be dirty again. They're filthy. And Christ said that I have raging bulls after me. I've got a roaring lion after me. I've got dogs after me. The revenge from Satan. Notice fourthly, we're almost done this morning. Number four, the reaction of his body. The reaction of his body. Look at verse 14. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a post herd. My tongue cleaveth to my jaws. Thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. Look at verse 17. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. The reaction of his body. Now, I just want to give these to you and I'll let you go this morning. I know this is like, boy, this is the feel-good message of the year, preacher. Oh, listen to me. This ought to make you feel good if you're saved. This is what Christ did for me. Because he went through this, I can go out those doors and go to lunch knowing I'm on my way to heaven. And he's my Savior. Now he's been attacked in a sense by the rejection of his father, by the people that were around him. His own disciples had let him alone. Satan had unleashed everything against him. And notice this last. Now his own body, let's see how it suffered. Everything else has been kind of mental and emotional, but now let's look at his body, how his body suffered. Number one, he said, I am poured out like water. We obviously understand later on as they gouged his side with that spear that water came out. He's literally, I am poured out like water, is talking about his bleeding, his blood. That literally it is coming out of me, my blood is coming out of me like you would pour water out of a pitcher. So that's not a real good picture, preacher, on a Sunday morning. Oh, that's a very, very accurate picture. Let's not forget this, what Jesus went through. He said, I am poured out like water. Notice, secondly, he said, all my bones are out of what? Joint. Can I tell you something that would be prophesied that no bones would be what? Broken. But it wasn't prophesied that they wouldn't come out of joint. You've got to remember on the cross that literally his body had been beaten and jarred so drastically that notice what he says, all my bones are out of joint. You say, preacher, does that mean every bone in his body? I don't know if that's what it means. It certainly could. All I know is this, is that he said, all my bones are out of joint. Imagine the physical pain of that happening. By the way, I love this, and he makes it very clear, all my bones are out of joint. You know what? You don't ever want to give Satan credit he doesn't deserve. And he makes it very clear that it was said that Satan would bruise his what?
Heel.
But that God would break Satan's head. Now, we are prophesied that his no bones would be broken. And he makes it very clear that they weren't broken, but they're all out of joint. Notice thirdly, he said, my heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. He's literally talking about the heart failing. I'm having trouble breathing. And literally, his internal organs had shut down. They had totally shut down. Now, I wouldn't get specific because I wasn't there. But I could not even imagine to think with the internal turmoil of his body and the physical pain on the outside, there's no telling what that scene was like. Now, Hollywood can do as good as they can do, but they'll never get it right. His internal organs had shut down. Notice this. He said, it is melted in the midst of my bowels. His bowels had quit working. Notice, if you would, verse 15. My strength is dried up like a post-hurt. I've got nothing left to give. And they always said, you know, you've heard about, as folks were crucified, that they would literally, to get a breath, as the nails were in their hands, they would have to pull up. At the pain in their hands, they would have to pull up as that would crush their bones, just to try to get another breath. And he said, my strength is dried up, it's gone. Notice what else he says. He says, my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. He was so dry, so thirsty, that he couldn't even get his tongue off the bottom of his mouth. Now, I've had cotton mouth. I've had medication they put me on that makes you cotton mouth. I've preached with cotton mouth. And me and my lips are sticking to my teeth and my tongue sticking to this. I'm trying to talk like this, you know. Let me tell you something. We have no idea what this is like. Notice, my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. Notice number 6. Thou hast brought me into the dust of death. Now, where there's dust, there's normally what? A storm. And the dust of death simply means this: death is coming. I can feel that I am getting ready to die. Notice, if you would, verse 16. The very end of verse 16, he says, they pierced my hands and my feet. Now, how could anybody see this, what was coming, and read about the crucifixion and not see that Jesus Christ is the Messiah? He said, they pierced my hands and my feet. Notice verse 17, number 8, he says this, I may tell all my bones. What do you mean, I may tell all my bones? Listen, this is what Christ is saying, that literally he could see some of his bones, and he could literally, like he would talk to them, they were exposed from the skin being ripped off his body. Remember, we said that probably after they beat him with a cat of nine tails, that you could have seen his back muscles and his spine. Imagine a raw spine where skin had been ripped off and your spine is exposed, and they throw you down on a wooden cross. Imagine. He said, I could literally talk to my bones. Notice, if you would, verse 17. They look and stare upon me. He said, my own bones, although not broken, they're all out of joint. They could even just look at me and stare at me. Notice verse 18. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture, his clothing, his garments, his robe. That's exactly in Matthew what they said happened. As Jesus, they took the garments that he wore and they began to cast lots to see who would get them so that they could get some money for it or to keep it as a trophy. Dear friends, you say, well, this is absolutely horrible. I cannot believe this happened. Look, if you would, at verse 27. And I'm going to be honest with you now. Let's be fair. For the past 5 weeks on Sunday mornings, I have preached nothing but encouraging messages about God can help you through whatever. But you know what? Instead of us listening what God can do for me, let's stop and remember what he already did. Instead of us walking out of here like, well, God hadn't been as good to me as so-and-so. Oh, yes, he has.
Thank you for listening today. We hope you received a blessing from our broadcast. The Kirtland Baptist Church is located at 4520 Old Hollow Road in Kernersville, North Carolina. You may also contact us by phone at 336-993-5192 or via the web at kirtlandbaptistchurch.com. Enjoy our services live and all our media on our website and church app. Thank you for listening to the Kirtland broadcast today. God bless you.